Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Football's Most Valuable Podcast. This is your host, aka the FFMVP, Brett. And I am joined by none other than Corey. Corey, how the heck are you doing? Corey? Oh, I forgot some rules. Now, Corey, how the heck are you doing?
Oh, Brett, I'm fantastic. I assume that you were telling everyone how handsome and charming I am while you were off the air there. And I thank you for your kind words.
I was actually just going, so how are you, Corey? Sorry.
Okay, well, I hope our viewers and listeners were able to tell that that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking about your handsomeness.
Perfect.
Well, I tell you what, we're podcasting during halftime of the Monday night football game. The Jets are currently losing to the Arizona Cardinals. I think it's fun when people listen to podcasts to hear whether someone's predictions are right or wrong. So if you're writing a script for the second half, what's going to happen?
Second half, I think that Brandon Marshall is going to get me the 20 more points I need from him as the Jets try to make a miracle comeback. And the Cardinals are going to rely heavily on the ground game. And David Johnson's going to get me the 3 more points I need from him. It's really going to be a Corey-fueled game.
That's very helpful for the listeners to know that all of your dreams are going to come true. I think you're right that David Johnson, he's already got 2 touchdowns, but it's working and they're up by 11 right now. So why not keep feeding the beast? I mean, if you're going against him, I feel sorry for you because I think he's just going to keep pouring it on here in the second half. And I do agree that, you know, as shitty as Ryan Fitzpatrick looks, one of the Jets wide receivers has got to score, whether it's Brandon Marshall or Quincy Enunwa. I bet you one of them is going to find pay dirt at some point soon.
And the one thing that I'll say about David Johnson is even last week against the Niners, when the Cardinals were kind of running away with it, they were still feeding David Johnson late in the game. I don't know how much of that was motivated by trying to have him set the single game rushing record for this season, but they're not shy about trying to really run up the score and, as Bruce Arians says, step on the other team's throats.
Yeah, I mean, so far in the first half, David Johnson is tied for second in team targets, and any other running back has touched the ball. Chris Johnson is on injured reserve, I believe, and Ellington is the backup, and he hasn't touched the ball. I'm not sure whether or not he's seen the field, but this is that very useful analysis of only one half of a football game for all the listeners out there. So how was your fantasy weekend?
This has been a nice rebound weekend for me. I have a lot of stakes and a lot of matchups that are still kind of on the line in tonight's game. But I would say overall, it looks like I should go 4-2, possibly 5-1.
Let me ask you this. Colin Kaepernick made his debut. Will he be this year's NFL MVP?
Well, Brett, I'm glad you got to that because I feel like the wrong Super Bowl starting quarterback has been getting all of the discussion this weekend. The big headline of the weekend was Colin Kaepernick returning and sucking it up for the Niners.
Yo. Start announced as the starter for week 7, and can't really blame him for that. I mean, he sucked, but I think Blaine Gabbert would have done worse. That's not the comedy boing sound effect anymore. It's called the Gabbert. So if you say something silly, I might go, that deserves a Gabbert.
I thought that was actually the sound of someone pulling on Kaepernick's hair.
It is nice and bouncy. So the only thing that buoyed Kaepernick's fantasy values is rushing yards. I think two quarterback leagues, he's probably worth adding. He's a little better than Gabbert for fantasy because of his rushing ability. We saw his effect on the rest of the team. Carlos Hyde had a bad game, but I really credit that more towards the Buffalo defense. It's been pretty stifling lately. I believe the Bills have won 4 games in a row now, so they're putting it together in large thanks to their defense. Jeremy Curley was enjoying a nice little streak, but it sort of came to an end this week with Kaepernick taking over with only 2 catches for 12 yards. That being said, he did see a team tying high in targets with 7 targets. He just only caught 2 of them. And Torrey Smith had 3 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. But anyone who saw that play knows that it was a little bit fluky, very underthrown pass that just worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this about Kaepernick. They have named him as a starter for Week 7. What was off this last week was really the passing mechanics. I think that the longer he's working with the first team and the longer he's anticipating being the starting quarterback, some of those kinks will work themselves out. You know, he's not going to go back to his Super Bowl form anytime soon. But what was nice to see was that he was still able to run the ball well. That wasn't slowed down by his demotion. And I think that, you know, as a Russell Wilson owner, possibly Ben Roethlisberger owners, he might not be the worst option to add right now when there's absolutely no rush and no one's going to be bidding on him. Because if he has a nice game next week against a much more lowly defense in the Bucs, he could become someone who 2 quarterback leagues, but maybe even in 14 team leagues, who could be a bye week option.
Yeah. That's, you know, the result of rushing guards really that keep them flow.
Yeah. I mean, that's very high praise in a 14 team league as a bye week option, but I'll say it.
I mean, that's why you agree that he'd be the NFL MVP this year.
Precisely.
So while we're talking quarterbacks, let me ask you this, because it's prompted by a debate we had with our eldest brother, Kevin, about whether or not there is an elite upper tier of quarterbacks. So I know Kaepernick's number one, but aside from him, how would you rank the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks right now going forward if you were to do a redraft today?
Are you talking about the top 5 or 6 who were the consensus top 5 or 6 at the beginning of the season?
No.
Who I think that I would say Brady, number one. I might stick with Breeze at number 2. I like what I've seen of Stafford. I think he's in the discussion. I don't know where I would rank him necessarily. I'm embarrassed to admit that Matt Ryan is looking like he probably belongs in that top 6.
Could you, know, don't forget about Cam, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I'm not forgetting about them. I don't know if they're in my top. I mean, Russell Wilson has had one good game this year. Aaron Rodgers has no running game to speak of, and it's shown that he's been having some struggles. It's still been a rebound year for him from last year, but not quite the hype that we were hoping we would see from him this year. And I don't know what to make of Cam, because he's getting a lot of garbage time production with how bad the Panthers are. But I guess with Cam's rushing, he's still in the top 6. But in terms of who I feel comfortable starting on a week-to-week basis, I like Stafford and Breeze, and to some extent Matt Ryan more than those guys, just because I know that their offenses are so aggressively built around the aerial attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with right now Matt Ryan is the number one fantasy quarterback and Matthew's number 2. That's just in total points. But going forward, I think you're a bigger Matthew Stafford fan than I am. In fact, you might even say that you're in love with him, a creepy affair with him.
There's some romance in the air.
You can say that, you did say it, and you're right.
I accidentally played the bromance sound effect instead of the creepy sound effect.
Ah, yes.
But I'd still rather have Cam Newton, and I think Aaron Rodgers, as bad as he's been, But I agree, and I like the boldness of your putting Breeze and Brady at 1 and 2. I just pulled off a trade today that I want to ask you about while we're talking about Matt Ryan. I have Tom Brady and Matt Ryan on one team, and I've been struggling at tight end. I've cycled through virtually everybody. I've had your Virgil Greens, your Dennis Pittas, your Antonio Gateses at certain points, Zach Ertz, and this week I added off the waiver wire for $10 or so, Julius Thomas, who disappointed in a major way. So there's a gentleman who has Ben Roethlisberger, who I'm sure we'll get to in the primary read, who's obviously injured and should miss at least a little bit of time, desperate for quarterback.
What?
You didn't hear?
Oh, my God.
You heard his big body. I'm desperate for a tight end, but I have two good quarterbacks. I found a guy who's desperate for a quarterback because he has Roethlisberger, but has two good tight ends because he drafted Greg Olsen and picked up Jimmy Graham off the waiver wire. And I traded Matt Ryan for Jimmy Graham. Who's the winner there? Maybe just he and I are the winners, and the league is the loser.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a league is the loser situation. In absolute value, I like Matt Ryan more. But in terms of filling your need, having Matt Ryan ride your bench when you have Clive Walford's left testicle as your starting tight end.
I think it'll stay on, though. Don't worry.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so hopefully that works out for both of us. But with that, why don't we get into the primary read, Mr. Corey?
This is the primary read.
Well, probably one of the biggest headlines to come out of the weekend, which we were just talking about, Big Ben, Mr. Sir Roethlisberger, suffered a torn meniscus in Sunday's game, which kept him sidelined. He did undergo surgery on that today. Jarvis Landry-Jones is going to be the starting quarterback. They're talking a little bit optimistically about Big Ben's surgery. It's not as severe of a meniscus tear as they had originally thought, and so there's still some possibility that he returns after the Week 8 bye. I think that sounds a little rosy of a prediction, and we already saw how much the Steelers' offense and passing game struggled after Big Ben went down. This is certainly a blow to Antonio Brown owners, and after all the hype and talk about Marcus Wheaton and stuff to really get excited about anyone, especially those deep threat options like Wheaton and Coates.
Yeah, I agree. It's obviously negative for the rest of the Steelers skill players, but I don't think you downgrade them too much. Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell before the injury were, if not automatic, top one best players of their position, at least top three. So without Big Ben, maybe they're now top five for the next week or two or three. But, you know, even if you downgraded Antonio Brown, there's not many players I would trade for. I guess I would take Julio and Odell Beckham right now in a one-for-one, just knowing that there's a possibility Ben misses some time. But those are the only wide receivers I would take for Antonio Brown. You know, the next best receivers are probably A.J. Green or DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm not taking them for A.B. right now.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that you try and trade AB because the drop in value isn't going to be enough to get any good deals off. But would you next week start Antonio Brown over, say, Alshon Jeffrey?
Yeah, definitely.
So are the only guys that you would start at this point over Antonio Brown, Julio, and Odell?
Probably. I haven't looked at all the matchups yet, but yeah, I think so. I think I still have to start. I know he's got his touchdown route with crappy backup quarterbacks. I heard the stat today that in the one game that Landry Jones knew that he was going to be the starter for all week and prepared to be the starter, Antonio Brown didn't score. And that's like the scary streak, but he did have 125 yards or something with Landry Jones at quarterback. So I'm not that worried about him.
All right. In other news, after beating up on my poor Raiders, the Chiefs said that they are still planning on limiting Jamal Charles' touches. He was out-touched by Spencer Ware 11-26 in Sunday's game. And Spencer Ware still figures to be the back seeing the majority of the carries. It looks like it's Andy Reid is trying to have it kind of balance out as Charles recovers, but with how well Spencer Ware is playing, he still looks like the safer fantasy bet. Mm-hmm. That being said, Ware's value is definitely on the decline right now with Jamaal Charles returning. I think we need to see a little bit more of a sample size to determine whether or not this is going to be a true committee situation, but it's still too early to confidently start Jamaal Charles in standard leagues, I would say, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a real fancy quagmire because we don't know who's going to get the touches. And this week they both scored, so they're both, you know, they don't get to play the Raiders every week. So I think you're going to spend to wear the guy to start at least in the near future. You know, in week 7, I'm going to rate him very highly. One of the takeaways, if you're in a deeper league and you added Spencer Ware off the waiver wire before the season started, as the news kind of surprisingly broke that Charles wasn't nearly as close as we thought he was returning, then you got a steal.
Got a highway robbery in progress.
That's a steal.
Yeah, and you say the Chiefs don't get to play the Raiders every week, but they get the next best thing with the Saints in week 7. So this is a game where even with limited touches, both running backs will likely have a pretty prominent role.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're playing the Saints. I would probably make Ware a top 10 start and Jamaal Charles maybe around 25.
Going from one team with an apparent spoils of running back talent to one that's really kind of has their back against the wall, especially on a shortened week. The Green Bay Packers have announced that James Starks has had the surgery on the torn meniscus. He's likely out for the next 4 or so weeks. There was no team practice for the Packers today because of the shortened week, but they did say that Eddie Lacy would not have been practicing today. He has that bruised ankle. At this point, those are the only two running backs that the Packers have on their roster. James Starks is ruled out. Eddie Lacy is dinged up. They're likely going to be adding someone new heading into Thursday's game. This is something to monitor in deeper leagues. It looks like Eddie Lacy is still going to be active and starting, but at significantly less than 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. They really only have two running backs. One is out and the other's hobbled. They're putting Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery in the backfield. And just while we're on the subject, I may as well knock one out of the way right here and work the waiver in a little tiny version here. Work, 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 work. Ty Montgomery is available in 99% of leagues. He had 0 points before this week, but exploded with 10 catches on 12 targets for 98 yards. And what's important to note, the reason that the running back news led to this wide receiver pickup is because Montgomery lined up in the backfield so much. So that's someone to keep in mind, and you're going to want to monitor Eddie Lacy's practice reports, because if he's out, both Montgomery and Randall Cobb, if he's healthy, will benefit.
And another thing helping Ty Montgomery heading into this week is that Davante Adams suffered a concussion and is likely going to be ruled out for Thursday night's game against the Bears.
Woo. That's all I have to say is
woo. Woo, woo, I like it. In other news, Dwayne Allen suffered an injury in the Sunday night game. He has a high ankle sprain. He's likely going to miss some serious time. If you were still starting him like I was, it sucked. All the hype has not come true this year. He's now safely droppable. Jack Doyle looked to step up, even though Eric Swoops also had a role. If you're really tight on tight end, I think that Jack Doyle has had some chemistry with Andrew Luck. He mm-hmm. has about 200 yards on the season and 3 scores, including 1 yesterday. Dwayne Allen officially out now, it might be an opportunity for Jack Doyle to step up, especially with Dante Moncrief still recovering from that injured shoulder. Someone needs to be catching Andrew Luck's balls other than T.Y. Hilton. And so Doyle might be worth a look in deeper leagues or if you're in bye week trouble at tight end.
I mean, it's deep leagues only, but I think the shot who else are you starting there? Clive Walford, as you mentioned earlier. Clive Walford, left testicle, as you also mentioned earlier. Even Delanie Walker, you know, in a juicy matchup against the Browns, had 20 yards or something. The tight end position is just such a mess that if you have Gronk, I mean, this is what you and Patrick especially were saying all the preseason, is that positional scarcity makes Gronk so valuable. But really, if you have Gronk, Greg Olsen, or maybe Jimmy Graham, then you're in heaven. But everyone else, including, unfortunately, Jordan Reed owners, are just scrambling. I mean, I've started like 50 different tight ends across my 8 teams so far this season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a very inconsistent position.
Corey, I hate to interrupt you, but there's something wrong, I think, in the world of football. And I'm not actually able to watch the game because I went into my private studio to record. But according to my stat tracker, it looks like the Jets started the second half and went 3 and out. Can that be?
We need to get a weather report or some sort of an emergency alert system going on because there's clearly something up there.
You're right.
None of what
I said is said.
Yeah, I mean, there must be lightning on the field striking Fitzpatrick and his beard on each of those 3 plays because there's no way that the Jets offense would stall.
Well, enough shitting on your baby Santa. What else you got?
LeSean McCoy dinged up his knee on Sunday against the Niners, but the Niners were so nice that they decided to let him come back in, play, continue to torch him, and they just were playing two-hand touch with him to avoid any further injury to the knee. It looks like he should be good to go. He'll likely be popping up on the Bills injury report, but it shouldn't be anything to worry about considering he injured the knee on Sunday and then returned to the game and scored another touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of running backs I'd rather own going forward than LeSean McCoy at this point. Like Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, McCoy third.
In some annoying fantasy football news, the Dolphins chose to activate Arian Foster for Sunday's game against the Steelers, which seemed like it could be a potentially good matchup because although the Steelers have a good defense, they've been pretty vulnerable against the run this year. And Foster had essentially zero role in the game, while Jay Ajayi, or Ajajaja, as Kevin likes to call him, lit the world on fire with 200 yards and 2 scores. After the game, the Dolphins said that they had really only activated Arian Foster because of his leadership qualities, which, in the words of Adam Sandler from The Wedding Singer, would have been something great to know yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked this weekend. First, I didn't mention at the top of the show, but I apologize. We've been off the air for 2 weeks. It's just been a crazy 2 weeks. We've been traveling the world. And I apologize, but we're back. We'll resume regular podcasts. We were in Portland with one of our best friends, Amit, who mentioned that the primary read is the meat of the show, so that Corey really carries the torch because this is the most useful part of the show. So I appreciate that. But we were also talking about what the biggest WTF game was of the year, like the Falcons losing to the Bucks and the Niners absolutely shutting down the Rams. But this one's got to be in the conversation. The Steelers got owned at home, or in Miami rather, but by the Dolphins. And this, I do a pick'em league, and Pittsburgh was my lock of the week. And Ajayi comes out there and lights the world on fire. So as a preview of the work in the waiver, he's someone that you got to add because he's actually available in 70% of Yahoo leagues. After 25 carries for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns, you know, Adam Gase said 2 weeks ago that this 4-back committee is not what he wants. He wants a workhorse, and he proved that it was true. It wasn't just coach speak, because last week Ajayi only had 13 carries, but that was 13 carries compared to only 2 carries for any other running back. And this week he comes out with 25 carries, and all indications are that Arian Foster's healthy. He wasn't taking a backseat because of health, so this looks like Ajayi's gig going forward. So he's a must-add because he should be the feature back for the foreseeable future in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Arian Foster has said that he's still not 100% with the hamstring and groin, but based off of what Jay Ajayi did this weekend, and what Foster has done thus far this season, I do think that if Adam Gase wants to have a featured running back, the tides turned pretty significantly this weekend in that competition.
Yep.
Finally, a competition that has kind of all but resolved itself. Thomas Rawls is still a couple weeks away, according to Seahawks coach Christian Michael, continues to excel as the Seahawks starting running back, and he's really starting to run away with that competition, even if and when Rawls does come back.
Yeah, Christian Michael has been an absolute beast.
And Brett, that'll do it. I will end the primary read with praise of a Seahawk and the saddest, saddest primary read conclusion ever.
Well, great work as always. That was the substance of the show, the useful stuff. And now we'll get to some wet, wild, and wacky bullshit as I clack, 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 clack the waiver wire for you.
Working the waiver.
Working.
So we talked about some of these guys, and since we're running a little short on time, I'll try to hurry through this list. But in the running backs, just James White is actually still available in almost half of Yahoo leagues, which sounds crazy. But, you know, he was struggling the first 4 weeks with Jacoby Brissett under center. But now that Tom Brady's back, he's going to have that Deion Lewis role until Deion Lewis comes back. So in that meantime, you got to ride James White. He had 2 receiving touchdowns this week. Not a ton of yardage. Those receiving scores are not a fluke. This is what the Patriots do. They throw, they check down, and it works. So make sure he's owned in your league. We talked about Jay Ajayi and just 2 other running backs I want to mention and see if you have thoughts, especially in Denver backfield. Devontae Booker is available in 70% of leagues. He had 5 carries for 46 yards on Thursday night, so not a huge amount of carries to make it look like a committee, but he was much more effective than C.J. Anderson. So that's the situation where if you own C.J. Anderson, you definitely want to add Booker, and we'll see how that shakes out. But it looks like Booker has earned himself a fairly serious part of that pie. And finally, I just want to note Jaquizz Rodgers is still available in 80% of leagues. He had a huge week 5. We weren't there because we were off traveling the world on top of the Eiffel Tower, which we apologize for. We didn't tell you to add him. I'm sure you didn't notice his huge performance on Monday Night Football last week. But that's someone that consider adding just because Doug Martin didn't practice today. So if he's out, the Bucs play San Francisco, who's been hemorrhaging fantasy points to opposing players. So Jaquizz Rodgers could be a good play for at least a week. But I figured you'd probably want to cry about Devontae Booker or something.
You know, you're right that I do want to cry about that. As a big C.J. Anderson fan and owner this year, the slowdown in production from him these past few weeks has been a little concerning. And certainly the production in last week's Thursday night game was upsetting. But the only thing that I will say in his defense is there were a couple big runs and a score that did get called back on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the penalty, I think, you know, there was a hold on the touchdown, and the argument is certainly there that the score was as a result of the holding penalty. But I still think that C.J. Anderson has value, has a great deal of value going forward. And it was just kind of the unluck of the draw in terms of those big plays where he was able to get free and get into space being called back.
I think you're right, actually. I think C.J. Anderson is still a pretty good RB2. And Booker is someone to add in case he can turn into more of a committee. I don't see him overtaking C.J. Anderson. But because the Broncos are probably committed to the run, someone taking a big piece of the pie is noteworthy. Moving on to tight end position. Hunter Henry, still unowned in 2/3 of leagues, on Thursday Night Football caught 6 of his 8 targets for 83 yards and a score. Keep in mind, Antonio Gates is back. He is about as healthy as a 62-year-old tight end can be. So I think, you hate to say it, but the rookie is kind of taking over that role, and maybe Gates is falling off a bit of a cliff. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's just still healing, and next week he'll be back to his old self, but he just looked slower.
Yeah, I need to eat a little bit of crow here because I talked about Hunter Henry a couple weeks ago and all of the glowing reports that were coming out of the Chargers camp and saying that he'd be a decent flyer option for that week, but said that once Antonio Gates is back, this is the Antonio Gates show, and the Chargers are still going to defer all tight end duties to Gates. And that has not really been the case, even after Gates returned from the injury. I don't think Gates is necessarily 100%, but he is on the field, and we've still seen how productive Hunter Henry has been. I think that in light of our earlier conversation about who the hell are you starting at tight end, Hunter Henry is certainly someone who must be owned and probably should be started.
Yeah, exactly. And Gates might not be 100%, but he also might never be 100% again at his age. Henry's averaging over 70 yards per game in the last 4 weeks and has a nice 3-week touchdown streak going for him right now. So if you're hurting at tight end, you got to start him. And for the deeper leagues, again, it's a desperate position. C.J. Fedorowicz, available in almost every single league. And last night on Monday Night Football, or rather Sunday Night Football, he caught 6 of his 7 targets for 85 yards and a touchdown. This didn't come out of absolutely nowhere. He did have 6 points last week and 11 fantasy points the week before. But, it's hard to buy into that. I think all these struggling tight ends, like Zach Miller, Zach Ertz, Julius Thomas, I would rather have over Fedorowicz, but if you're in a deeper league, maybe you add him and see if he turns something into nothing. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I got nothing.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you made it clear that you have nothing by saying that you have nothing.
Well, I thought maybe you were pausing to allow me to say something. And I want to inform you that I have nothing to say.
Well, maybe I will.
I feel like Brock Osweiler is... Yeah, I'm going to keep interrupting you. I feel like Brock Osweiler is a bit of a joke as an NFL starting quarterback right now. And you could just see him in last night's game staring down his targets and not going through his progression at all. And so I think that he'll lock onto a target for a game. And I think that CJ has kind of benefited from that these past few weeks. But I don't think that he is going to be someone who has a high enough floor to really be started.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, Sunday Night Football announcers were comically critical of Brock Osweiler for good reason. It was fair, but it's just like, let's break down how terrible that decision was on some of those players,
yeah.
Gruden especially.
And they still won.
They still won. On to a fairly juicy waiver wire position, wide receivers, right off the top, Cameron Meredith. And it's a shame that we weren't podcasting last week to tell you to add him when you could get him for cheap, because now you're going to have to pay a little bit to get him. He's available in half of leagues. This week he caught 11 balls out of 15 targets for 113 yards. And this is following his 130-yard, one-touchdown outbreak last week. And this is, by the way, Alshon Jeffrey was quite involved. He didn't look hobbled this week. What did he have, 90 yards, 7 catches or something?
Yeah.
So it's not that Meredith is stealing all of Alshon Jeffrey's touches here. I got distracted because I was just mostly monitoring this Cardinals-Jets game for my tight fantasy matchups. So I think you got to take Meredith for real. And Adam, you know, Brian Hoyer looks like he might hold on to that job even if and when Jay Cutler's healthy. And if Hoyer and Meredith have this chemistry, if you wait until it's like he does it 5 times in a row, then you might have waited too long. You know, you got to add him now.
Yeah.
He's available. And on to a contentious man, Kenny Britt. There's not a romance drop deep enough to capture my love of this man. And it's been an emotional roller coaster. I mean, for the loyal listeners, what was it, 5 years ago when he had his breakout on the Titans and then was put on injured reserve in week 4 or 5 and killed my entire fantasy season after giving me hope of going undefeated in all of my leagues. It's been a long journey. But he had 7 catches for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. It seems like he's been around for a while. We've been debating him for what seems like 100 years, but he's actually only 28 years old. He's averaged 82 yards per game this year. He's actually on pace for a 1,300-yard season. I'm not saying that that's what he's going to get. But there might be something to it. And in the spirit of the November election, I know that I like him more than you. So I'd like to assume the role of Donald Trump and debate you. What say you, Corey, regarding the issue of Brit?
And Brett, I'm so glad that you posed this question to me. I was talking to my good friend Case, my good friend Case Keenum, and Case was telling me, I suck at football. I am not a competent quarterback. The Rams traded up to get the number one overall pick to draft a quarterback because they had so little confidence in me. And that, Brett, is why I am not a fan of Kenjamin Britt. I think that he has benefited from garbage time.
Where did you get that?
Anderson, I didn't talk over my opponent here.
Wrong.
Yeah, I think that Britt is a flyer who's going to get you some garbage time. I don't think that he needs to be owned. I think that I don't think Case Keenum is going to get to be playing the Lions every week. And I agree that he's off to a hot start, but I don't think it's sustainable.
Well, let me tell you why you're wrong. You know, a lot of people are saying, and I'm just telling you what I've heard, are saying that Kenny Britt is going to be here to stay forever. He's on pace for 1,300 yards, and he's going to eclipse it. That's what people are saying.
If I were to sit here and debate you on every fact that you get right or wrong, we'd be here all night. Just go to the website, FFMVP. We're fact-checking everything that the Brett says right now. And just see for yourself. I hope our fact-checkers are busy.
Yeah, well, if I was elected FFMVP, you'd be in jail. And that concludes this one-act play. Corey and Brett terribly impersonate people and improvise a terrible debate about Kenny Britt. Robert Woods is available in 80% of the leagues. He caught 5 of 6 balls for 44 yards and a touchdown. I believe we have talked about him before because Sammy Watkins is on injured reserve, probably won't play again this year. Well, that's up in the air. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play this year. Not a huge receiving day in terms of yardage, but he did find the end zone. And not a lot of receiving options for Buffalo, so I think Woods is someone that, you know, at the end of the year, if he stays healthy and assuming Watkins doesn't come back, he's not going to win you your league. But honestly, Robert Woods could be a top 20 wide receiver. David Johnson just found an end zone for the third time, making it a hat trick performance on Monday Night Football. Wowzer, 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 wowzer. Do you care?
I care from a points perspective, but those matchups were already locked up. I'd like to get a little more fifth action.
Fifth, I see. Hey, well, we'll see. And finally, to close it out, there's three other wide receivers to consider. Cole Beasley's available in a majority of leagues. He caught 6 of his 6 targets for 58 yards and 2 touchdowns. And this guy's, you know, he's been flirting with the waiver wire status all season, but he's had at least 65 yards or a touchdown in every game. So he's got chemistry with Dak Prescott. One of the big questions is, when Romo's healthy, is he going to take over? Is Dez Bryant coming back? But in any case, you know, you could add Cole Beasley and start him while this situation persists. We already talked about Ty Montgomery. And then finally, Kendall Wright is just worth mentioning. He's available in almost every single league because he had 8 catches for 133 yards and a touchdown. And he's a big name. But I'm really not buying it. You know, he's been playing and he just hasn't been effective. I just don't think he's a big part of the offense. When you look at his season-long performance instead of just one game performance, even with this big breakout, he actually only played about 35% of the snaps this week. So he's not going to return usable value if he's only playing a third of offensive snaps, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, as much as I love Kendall Wright, I think this was more of a flash-in-the-pan kind of game from him. And that's as much a comment on Mariota as a quarterback as it is on Kendall Wright.
And Kendall Wright plays on the Titans. And there's another wide receiver that I know and like who used to be a wide receiver on the Titans. Who is that?
Is it Kenjamin Brent?
That's close. I think it's a Kenny Britt Wrong. Oh, actually, I meant Wright.
There you go.
I'm going to grab him by the balls. I'm going to grab him by the balls.
You meant Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wrong. All right, well, I'd say we go watch the end of this game and hope Corey wins if Fitzgerald gets a couple more points. I'm going to go get a little too excited, if you know what I mean, when I look at my matchups after David Johnson's third touchdown of the game.
I hear you.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for stopping by.